Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I'm the other guy, Cliff.
Welcome back, Cliff. It's been like a week
since we did a podcast.
We're basically back on form, except don't quote us on that.
We make no future guarantees that we'll continue this regular broadcast.
100% no guarantees. Definitely. But yes, it's like a really quiet week. There's not much to talk about.
Not really.
Do we want to go through the news real quick and then maybe spend more time on what we're playing for now?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, I have like four things to talk about, and that's it. It's the worst. It's meant to be like busy time for games. I don't know what's going on. So, actually, only one of them is even about video games, so there's that. Sea of Thieves came out, and it's the No Man's Sky of Xbox. Hooray! Surprise, surprise, there's not much to do in that game.
Yeah, it seems to be that most of the fun is made annoying the shit out of other people.
Yeah.
But it seems like that also gets old pretty quick, and you actually want to do stuff, and there's not a lot to do, from what I read about it.
The loop is, you fight other players, you hunt down chickens to fulfill quests, you fight some skeletons, you find a treasure chest, you take it back to your ship, you get in a ship battle, you find some chickens, you finish a quest, you fight some skeletons, you find a chest, etc., 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 etc.
Yep, and if you're not doing that, you're finding ways to break the game in hilarious ways.
Exactly. I saw someone who accidentally turned their ship into a submarine because it just didn't stop keeling to the side. So that's cool.
I saw a great Achievement Hunter video where they put, you could bug out one of the quests where you go do the quest and you get a chicken coop, and then you quit the quest, re-sign up for it, and you get another coop, but you can just keep filling your ship up with chicken coops, like completely up, to the point where it actually sinks because it's so heavy. And then the ship disappears, but all the coops stay in the shape of the ship as they slowly rise to the surface.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so I've seen that. That's pretty funny. But yeah, seem to be a lot to do in that game. That's a $100 game.
Yeah, it's not even like a cheap game. I mean, you can get it through Game Pass, which is something, but yeah, it's like the gameplay loop is tiny. Like, I expressed my concern early on that it seemed like the only enemies they showed anyone fighting were skeletons, and it seems like that's literally all there is.
There is a Kraken encounter, and I've heard that it's really lackluster.
That's disappointing. Yeah. It's the Kraken.
That should be a massive world boss.
Exactly.
That's not... I don't know. It seems like that's not something that you would want to be in the game from the start. You want them to play for a bit and then say, like, okay, cool, you've been doing all this stuff, but the new threat is the Kraken, and make it super hard.
Yeah, it seems like all the concerns that people were expressing early on have come true. There's also been former developers from the Rare team who've come forwards to say these were the concerns raised during development, and dev focused on making sure the ships worked well, and that was it. And everything around it was just too basic. Like, that's all there is. Like, you don't get to build like a pirate hideout or anything, do you?
Maybe
I've not seen any coverage of that,
but maybe I know there's existing ones. Maybe that's something they want to bring in. All I know is that it doesn't seem like there's much there, and a bunch of my friends were like, we said we were going to play the shit out of Destiny 2, and no one fucking played it. So I'm not going to spend another $100 on a game that we don't play.
Yeah, $100 for this game. It is ridiculous.
No, it's not. That is not a $100 game.
No. And the fact that it's still got bugs, even for how little there is to do in it, that's disappointing.
But boy, that water looks pretty.
The water does look pretty. For the interacting with friends stuff, that seems fun. But I don't think it's a reason for me to finally unpack and plug in my Xbox.
It's shallow.
Yeah.
It is one of those games where you can play, if you buy it on the Microsoft Store, you get it on PC and Xbox at once.
Yeah. The Play Anywhere thing.
Which, that's cool, but again, like, I'm not paying $100 for the privilege of it.
Yeah, I'm not paying $100 to not play it on two different systems.
Nice idea for a game. Really great idea for a game, just not a lot to it.
Yeah. I imagine it's going to go through the same process as No Man's Sky did, like periodic updates over a long period of time to try and save face.
There's no progression in it either. Once you've got what you've got.
Exactly.
Like you,
and the problem is they've hyped this up so much because it's all they've got for the year. Like, there's nothing else they can compare to the Sony exclusives for Microsoft. This is it. And it already is falling on its face.
There to be fair to them, though, there was a day one eye patch for it.
Okay, yes. The day one patch was pretty cute.
That's pretty funny. You get
an eye patch that said the number one on it.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But yeah, apart from that, there's not a lot to it, unfortunately, it seems.
I think the best tweet I saw about this was someone saying, I wish that the ancient pirates had just buried shovels and bandanas and shirts to save me the time it takes collecting all the loot and going back and buying a new pair of pants.
Also, have you seen the character creator for it?
It's randomized.
Completely. So you basically just have to hit the random button until you find what you like.
Yeah.
You can't just go, I like that body type, lock the body type and keep randomizing. That would, to me, in my brain, that would be, hey, if you're going to do it completely random, allow you to lock certain things out. Yeah, and then just randomize from that. But no, it's just random. And I spent 15, because I downloaded the beta at one point, played it for 10 minutes, and then that was it. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play more at the time because friend schedules and stuff, and my schedule was a bit funny. Yeah. But yeah, it took me 15 minutes to pick out a pirate I wanted. And of course, as soon as you've hit the randomize button, you think, oh, this lot of shit. I should have picked that one that I had just before.
Yeah.
And that's not how you do character creation.
It's so dumb. At the very least, have one of those things they typically have in character creators, which are faces like this. You know, you find one you like, and then you can get variants on the theme so you find something that you like, or a true monstrosity. But no, it just, it seems like it's just zeros across the board as far as design decisions with this game.
Except the beautiful ocean.
Except for the beautiful and ocean.
To be fair to it, like the actual sailing mechanics, we've got to let the sail out, you got to actually do stuff, the steering, that's actually quite good. But that's all you can do.
It's just everything else that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, once you've got that down, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, I won't plug in my Xbox then. What a pity.
Yeah.
And that's it for gaming news. All I've got is entertainment news beyond that.
Well, I've got actually a game, a Kickstarter game. Ages back, and the guys that made that game actually bring out a new game, and the game's called C4. It's CEFORE, and it looks like that. What's that? That game where you make like weapons of war, and you blow shit up. Is that little simulator? And the levels are really small, and you just make like with the flamethrowers and the cannons and everything.
Yes, I know the one you mean.
Yes,
it's like I feel like it's a name like Bound or something like that.
Let's see what games, similar to games. Okay, that doesn't actually tell me anything. But yeah, it's one of those like little, it's a physics simulator in little levels, and you got to go around and do stuff. And you're a little man in overalls with a moustache, a jetpack, it seems, at least in some levels, and a little construction hat, and you got to go around demolishing stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of fun. I don't know how much it costs, but it's coming out in April 6th, I think. But it doesn't have the name, which is a bit of a shame. Sorry, it doesn't have the price with it.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand why you'd have a release date and not a price.
Yeah, that's an odd choice.
Besiege is the game.
Besieged, yes, thank you.
Yeah. So it's like that, but it looks like the levels are a bit smaller and you're just a guy running around blowing shit up. It looks like it'd be fun, just a little like cute physics simulator game. With explosions. What's not to love?
Oh, yeah. That's something. Actually reminds me, there was a game I initially considered backing when it was on Fig or Indiegogo originally. The Good Life, which is a game by Swery, who's done a lot of weird games over the years, about being an investigative reporter who goes to a weird country town, and every night everyone turns into cats and you sort of explore the town as a cat. And the Kickstarter failed, or the Fig campaign failed the first time because they didn't have any details, they didn't have any assets, they really didn't show enough, and they set the budget too high. So they kind of failed that, went away, said we're going to redo it on Kickstarter in X number of months, and it finally launched this week. And it's, I don't know. They're asking for a lot of money. like
still
close to a million. I don't know if they got to keep any of the funds from Fig, because I'm not entirely sure how Fig works, but the budget is really high. Also, you can get it on Steam or PS4. The Steam copy costs $31 on the early bird pricing, so like limited number of slots before you then pay more. The PS4 copy costs $43, so you're paying an extra $12 for the same game. And then when it goes off early bird to normal pricing, it'll go up to $50. And
that is a lot for a Kickstarter game.
Exactly. For a game that is going to be small scale because it's a Kickstarter game. It's not going to be a grand epic.
That they're already asking $1 million for, almost $1 million for.
I think so, yeah. And bold strategy. Just like,
let's see if that pays off.
Yeah, and I want to play it on console because I know it works and I like playing things on my PS4. I'm not going to pay like 150% of the price for the right to play it on a different system. That's not how Kickstarter works. Nobody does that. And I do not think it's going to work out very well for them, because, I mean, while they do have actual assets this time, it's still badly constructed, this Kickstarter campaign. So I look forward to watching it not do great, because I want to play that game, but I'm not paying $50 for it.
Sucks to be them, then, I guess.
It does.
Unless it gets all backed and everything like that, and boy, will we look silly.
At which point, I'll wait till it goes on sale on PS4 and buy it for cheap. It's not like I'm running out of games. But what I am running out of is gaming news, so let's move on to entertainment, unless you've got anything else?
Nope, that was it. I just remembered that. I saw that today in my... because that company sends me emails about various games that are coming out. Quite like the look of it. I'll send you a look at it.
Yeah.
So you can have a quick squeeze, but it looks kind of fun.
In the meantime, entertainment news. Earlier in the week, a new trailer for Deadpool came out, which showed a lot more details, a lot more characters, and gave us a proper look at Terry Crews in his role, when no one was actually originally sure if he was even in it, really. So, yeah, it was very pretty, very funny. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks cool.
X-Force.
Lots of in-jokes. Yes. It's like, we'll call ourselves X-Force. Isn't that derivative? Yes.
I can't believe that they can actually start making a proper X-Men universe, and they're doing it around Deadpool. They've had all these X-Men movies. They've been, a lot of them have been quite successful, and have had Hugh Jackman, but it's Deadpool that actually gives a solid base. Of all characters, Deadpool gives the solid base for an expanded universe.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Also, this C4 game reminds me a little bit of Human Fall Flat.
It looks like that, but without the like weird bobbly floaty...
The blobby figures. Yeah. So Deadpool 2 is coming. It's only like a couple months away now, isn't it?
June, I think, or July, something like
that. Yeah. And Avengers Infinity War before that, which should be interesting. In other news, there's apparently been work underway for a Street Fighter television series. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, but if there's no Jean-Claude Van Damme cameoing in it, what's even the point?
It's got the full support of Capcom. It'll be based on the storyline introduced in Street Fighter II, The World Warrior. So Ryu, Ken, Guile, Chun-Li, and M. Bison will be in it.
Sweet. Street Fighter II had a story. Must have missed that when I played that game originally, when you just literally fly to another country and beat people up.
It was Street Fighter II, The World Warrior, so maybe one of the many infinitesimal sub-versions of Street Fighter II did have a story.
Or it was like a crappy... I would say crappy, I'll probably get chastised for that by many anime fans, but one of those, there's been tons of Street Fighter movies, and they're all like an hour long. It could have been one of those tie-in type anime deals.
Could have been.
It's considered good.
But apparently the team behind this Street Fighter series are the same ones who made The Assassin's Fist, which was like a 12-part miniseries that was on Machinima. And I remember people said that was pretty good. I never really looked into it because I don't care about Street Fighter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure Street Fighter really needs... I don't understand the big thing about fighting games needing stories.
Yeah.
You don't really need a story. Like, Tekken's got a great story. It's a tournament. Sweet. Mortal Kombat's got a great like, simple story. Earth versus Netherrealm fighting. Done.
Yeah. The only other sub-story in Street Fighter is one day they released DLC and we got Hot Dad Ryu. That's it. Like, fight some guys, Hot Dad Ryu, bad TVs and movies.
Yeah.
End of list.
A lot of the stuff I've seen with fighting movies, and they try and make the story so much bigger and more epic.
Yeah.
And it's just you can smell filler and bullshit a mile away. So hopefully it's actually done all right. I quite like that Street Fighter short that was done a while ago. The really, like, gritty Street Fighter short.
Yeah.
Similar to that Power Rangers one.
Yes, that one was cool.
I really did like that Power Rangers one.
But yeah, so that's a thing that's happening. And I don't know when it's happening. I think it's only been announced. I don't think they've put any kind of timeline on it. But other side of nerd fandom, there's some new information dropped about Captain Marvel. So we got to see a couple more shots of her in the black and green costume, which I'm pretty safely assuming is her early costume before she goes full red, yellow, blue. But they've confirmed a few characters from the MCU will be returning in Captain Marvel. So we'll be seeing Coulson again in the cinematic universe, which is nice. Because it's set in the 90s, it's before he died.
What about Peggy?
We don't have to train.
We better get us some Peggy. I need my Agent Carter.
Possibly. It is the 90s, so she'd still be alive at that point. She'd be very old, but she'd be alive.
Well, they show her at the start of...
Ant-Man.
Yes. So... Yeah. It's all good.
She would be alive.
Yeah.
Because she died during Civil War?
Cap 2.
Yeah. So yeah, Coulson will be making a return to the big screen.
Cap 2? He visits her in Cap 2. Maybe she dies off screen in Cap 3? I think the funeral is in Cap 3. Then he goes and bangs her great-granddaughter or whatever.
Yeah. All very awkward. But yeah, alongside Coulson, there'll be some other Marvel characters returning. Alongside, like, the young Nick Fury, which we already knew about. We'll also be seeing another appearance by Ronan the Accuser.
Okay, cool. Is Lee Pace going to play him?
Yes.
Excellent.
And Karrath will be making a return as well.
I don't know who that is.
He was the guy who confronted Star-Lord at the start of Guardians of the Galaxy on the rainy planet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
And then later got, like, ripped in half by Groot, I think.
No, it was Drax ripping the thing out of his head.
The metal thing,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, this is... Before they all got defeated, they'll be appearing because it's Captain Marvel. It'll have a galactic Kree side to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, interesting. And that's not until 2019, so it's still ages away.
That's not that far, though.
It's not that far, really.
It's Avengers, Deadpool, and Ant-Man away. So it's not that far away.
Yes. I'm so looking forward to Captain Marvel. It's going to be so good. But yeah, that's pretty much all the information we have about it at this point. It's in the 90s. Some characters are returning. Captain Marvel's in it. End of list. And that's it. That's all for the news.
I mean, it's only like a year away, so I'm surprised we haven't seen 14 trailers that give away the entire story by now.
And I think it's the same thing we usually see. Like, they're waiting for Avengers to pass, and then they'll start just, like, hardcore promoting the next one. Because, yeah, we used to get, like, a year of coverage before they started doing two or three movies a year.
It's because we're coming up to the very end of the MCU as we know it. They're holding stuff back. But Marvel, seriously, if you take anything into Phase 4, stop making shitty trailers that give away the entire storyline of your movies. Stop bringing out TV spots every 2 seconds that add more crap to it to let us know exactly what's happening. It's bad for movie watching. It really is. So I've stopped watching trailers now, pretty much. I watched the first trailer, maybe the second, but I don't watch any other trailers after that.
Yeah, I try to be controlled with it, but I do still tend to watch a decent number of them. So that's my own fault, really. But, yeah, you never know. Phase 4, it's a new phase. It'll be new characters. Maybe they'll change their marketing process. Ha, ha, ha. No.
I mean, they don't need to try so hard, really. Like, everyone knows what a Marvel movie is. You don't need to push so hard. with some things. Like with Spider-Man, that's the prime example. I knew the entire storyline of Spider-Man. Obviously, there's a couple of twists that they kept tight, and that was good, but you knew how it was gonna go the entire movie. And so you don't need to try so hard with Spider-Man. We know who Spider-Man is. We're all excited because we know it's Spider-Man in the hands of people that can actually make movies. It's all good. Just that fact alone has sold the movie. You're good. You don't need to blanket coverage for 8 weeks before down. It comes out.
Take a chill pill. Oh, well. We'll see. But that's all of the news.
Well, I've got other news. I told you.
What?
I told you this before, but for you didn't care because you don't like good TV. What? But there's lots of bunch of good stuff coming out on streaming soon. So Netflix has got its new Lost in Space show, apparently, coming out in April.
Oh, yeah, actually, I'm kind of keen for that.
Awesome. And Netflix is also getting all of Monty Python. Oh, yeah. All of Monty Python. Everything. So that's great. And Stan is getting all of Red Dwarf. So fuck yes. All we need now is Futurama on one of these things in Australia. And we are good.
Well, in more exciting Netflix news, I found out today that they've renewed for a second season both Nailed It, The Bad Cooking Show, and Queer Eye. So I'm just happy about both of those.
Those are not as exciting as two classics of comedy in their entire catalogues coming onto streaming services in Australia.
Yeah, but I don't care about those. So, anything else?
Well, I mean, we spoke a little bit about this before, but I watched Annihilation as well. Last night. So for people that don't know, Annihilation is a movie by the dude who made Ex Machina, which was a great, great science fiction movie about AI. And so you got given this second movie, and then for some reason, they decided not to release it in cinemas outside of all but three countries. So it got released in theaters in three countries, and then they didn't do anything with it anywhere else. So Netflix snapped it up and said, we'll just put it on Netflix for everyone. Like 2 weeks after it came out in the cinema, which is amazing for me because it's a sci-fi movie. It's really, really good. It's a full-on mindfuck, of course, being the dude that made Ex Machina. But it's kind of good. It's creepy and beautiful, and there's some crazy horror in it as well. I don't want to give too much away because kind of experiencing it is where it's at, but the whole idea of the plot is a meteorite hits a lighthouse, and then shortly after that, this weird shimmery light starts surrounding the lighthouse. And then fast forward a few years later, and this shimmery light that was surrounding just the lighthouse is now around a bigger area, and shit inside is weird. They sent a bunch of people in, and only one person's come out, and he was not in a good way at all. So because no one ever comes out except for this one guy, we need to send another team in to find out what happened. And of course, the weird, like, shimmer, they call it the shimmer because it's this weird, shimmery rainbow light that is like a bubble. And they send people in, but there's no transmissions ever get back out from there. It's definitely worth it. It's like the whole main cast, it's Oscar Isaac and a bunch of ladies.
Ooh.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
I like Oscar Isaac and Natalie Portman. So. Mm-hmm.
Also, Tessa Thompson. So get on that.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. And Jennifer Jason Lee. No, wait.
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No, not her. Hold on. Yep, Jennifer Jason Lee. That's her. Okay. If you saw her, you'd be like, oh, yeah, it's her.
Right. One of those. Okay.
Yeah. And Benedict Wong is in it as well.
Oh, cool.
So it's got quite a good cast. You see some of like there's a bit of footage from previous expeditions in there, and some of that footage is downright disturbing. But then some of there's one sequence towards ish the end where it looks like you're watching a video clip for the band Tool. Like, it gets super weird and surreal, and there's a bunch of very like Geiger-esque like design in there as well in places. That's so it gets super weird. And there's also a tattoo that kind of jumps all over the place, which you kind of just have to see for yourself. So when you do watch it, just keep an eye out for this. It's a figure eight, like an Ouroboros in a figure eight, snake hitting its own table tattoo.
And not the classic Ouroboros, but okay.
Well, it's like a cross between the normal infinity, like figure eight symbol, and Ouroboros, the round symbol. But it's a cross between the two, but it kind of jumps all over the place a bit. But after watching the movie, I'm like, okay, I guess I understand what's happening with it, but it's just, you got to watch it to experience it.
All right.
It's the best thing, but it is very good. I really, really liked it.
Yeah, it's on my list. I just haven't gotten around to it, like sat down for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, to actually absorb the entire thing. Because I live a very busy life of forgetting to do things all the time. It's tough.
That's pretty much all I've done. Oh no, wait! I've played some games.
What?
When I say some, I mean I've played PUBG and I've played the Elder Scrolls Online. Had a free kind of weekend deal. So I played a bit of Elder Scrolls Online. It's actually all right.
I like the look of it because it's like a more polished version of an Elder Scrolls world. I just don't care for the online half.
You don't have to play online.
Yeah.
Online. You can just go through and play it. It's perfect.
Yeah, and I'd be okay with that. Especially now they've got that thing where they were adjusting it so you could just be any level anywhere kind of thing. Do you remember they announced at E3 last year? Maybe?
Mm.
I don't know. I think we talked about it at the time.
Yeah. The character creator in that is pretty good. Unlike Sea of Thieves, you can actually have control over who you want to be. Always so nice. Whenever I play an Elder Scrolls game, I always play as a Dark Elf. So I'm a Dark Elf sorcerer lady with a sweet mohawk.
Nice, nice.
Running around, zapping shit. It's good fun. Yeah.
Yeah, which reminds me, I should get back to Skyrim on Switch and actually make that purchase worthwhile, which I haven't. But I have been playing games myself this week. I've been playing more Yakuza 6, which the review went up on Survivor.com. It's good. Like, it's a Yakuza game. It's very pretty. You punch people real good. Put in a bit of time for the new Kirby game on Switch, Star Allies. Mm-hmm. It's all very cutesy, but has just like a bit more polish, which is nice.
I saw a multiplayer of the Kirby game, and it was just complete mayhem. There's no actual game to that. There's no challenge. There's no nothing to that mode. You're just running around, just doing shit.
Yeah, pretty much. You play it either with the AI up to 3 allies who can run alongside you and do stuff, or you can do multiplayer and sort of team up on screen. It gets hectic anytime there's like a focused screen boss battle or anything like that.
Oh, there's just...
The game does have difficulty modes, so you can jack up the difficulty from the standard sort of Kirby fluff level, but I haven't really even looked to see what setting it put it on by default because it didn't ask me at the start of the game. It's cute. It's Kirby. Like, you take powers, you run around. It's all very sort of sweet and fluffy and lovely. And it's just something nice to play that's not Stardew Valley for once on my Switch. So I've been enjoying that. And then I saw that this week Ni No Kuni 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel to the game that was a weird collaboration between Level 5 Games and Studio Ghibli, which they've done a sequel to, and I hated the first one so much because it had this shitty Pokemon-esque battle system where you controlled these little creatures in battle and they never really did what you wanted them to, and the AI for all your partners was terrible, and trying to catch these things was just a complete game of chance. There was no skill or anything to it. Very frustrating, and then you'd hit like a difficulty spike and it just put me off the game entirely. So I was going in to cancel my pre-order for the sequel. I'd seen some reports saying like the combat had all been fixed and some of the other qualms I had with the game were fixed as well. Downside is they don't have Studio Ghibli animation cutscenes anymore, which is a bit of a bummer, but it's still got like the visual aesthetic of the sort of studio. So I went in to cancel it and some other stuff which I'd picked up from other places, and like, oh, you've already paid off Ni No Kuni. So, all right, just give it to me. So I have it. I haven't played it yet. I only picked it up last night. But it's sitting there, waiting. Another big, giant fucking game to sit with all of the others. So that's my life. I'll see how long it takes me to actually plug it in and play it. I also picked up A Way Out, the two-player co-op game, sort of the Prison Break game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played it yet because it's purely only co-op, so I've got someone lined up on the weekend to play that with me. It should be cool. The best part about that game as well is it's required co-op, but you don't need to own two copies of the game. You have one person who hosts the game, the other person downloads a trial version, so they can't play independently, but you can play together.
That's cool. So you have to connect to a full version in order to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although from what I was reading, it sounds like once you've done that, the trial player can then continue by themselves from that point.
Hmm. Sounds like a loophole they might want to close.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's cool that they've done this. And also some of the reports from the studio saying that they're making sure that like not a dime is going back to EA for the game. It's all staying with the studio, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've heard
that it's something like, it's only like a 6-hour experience though.
Yeah. It's only like a $30 or $40 game as well. So that's okay, a bit more in keeping.
And if you get kind of like two player, you can effectively like, you could split the cost with your mate.
Exactly.
To get it.
If you wanted to, you could. And like it's two different party members, so you could always play through and then play the other side to see what the other half of the game is like, because they do different things during the different sections. I'm just really keen to see all the cool like dual screening stuff they're doing, so you can see what the other player is doing all the time. That seems like it's going to be fun. But yeah. That's what's on my plate. I don't actually know what's coming out next as far as games are concerned. I'm just waiting to get like updates on my phone saying, this is waiting for you. I think Labo is actually the next big thing to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Late April. There might be a game or two during April, but nothing that I'm apparently desperately waiting on. So that's not a great sign.
I'm trying to think what I'm waiting on. No, I don't think there's much.
Yeah, it's kind of at that point of the year. Yeah, there's Labo next month. Oh, Detective Pikachu came out last weekend, but I haven't gotten it yet.
I haven't heard a billion things about it, so it can't be the best game in the universe. Yeah, but I haven't heard bad things about it either, so it can't be the worst game.
Like, I feel like it hasn't gotten a lot of press, and also because it's not a mainline Pokemon title, like no one's competing to get the best price on it either. So it's just there. So yeah, the only thing I've got on my list at the moment with dates are Labo and then the Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze re-release at the start of May for Switch, which might be when I actually pick up that game and play it for the first time. But yeah, pretty quiet otherwise.
I got nothing.
Yeah. So I guess that pretty much does us for this week. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to an extra concise edition of the Indoorsman podcast, your guide to the great indoors. As always, we're very glad to have you here because we love you dearly.
We do. I mean, we do.
Yeah, that's the enthusiasm level we're looking for.
You know what else we love?
What?
We love the opening and closing music. Fuck Star Trek Progression on Game Boy by Rocco W. And you can get it at Bandcamp or other places by searching Rocco W.
That is a thing we love.
Mm.
I also really like the way that you can find us online at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook or at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter, which is where you can see cover art for all the things in those different channels because I post them everywhere.
But wait,
when I remember to.
There's more. You can't just contact us. You can contact us as in me and you. So like,
really?
If you want to contact me, it's at Cliff and Monkey on Twitter. If you
want to contact that seems kind of pointless.
It's at Ponk on Twitter.
It's true.
But then if you want to email us, I mean like us as in us, not me and you, us, you can then go to contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That's pretty cool.
So you can contact us.
Alternatively, if you don't so much want to talk to us as look at us, or a logo that represents us at the very least, you can get merchandise for this podcast now. Did you know this?
I was vaguely aware of such a thing.
Yeah. The fine folks at TeePublic have decided to make the mistake of partnering with us and have made available for you and me and everyone else who listens to this show to purchase merchandise with the Indoorsman logo on it. Shirts and jumpers and phone cases and pencil cases and pillow cases and baby cases, sometimes referred to as onesies, all of which are options that you can brand with our fine, fine logo that I created myself. And do you know where you have to go to get that, Cliff? No, you don't. But I do, so it's fine. It's tinyurl.com/indoorsmerch, which is a fun portmanteau that does not make it harder to find at all. tinyurl.com/indoorsmerch, short for merchandise. That is the location where you can find those fine products. And also, fun fact, since we mentioned this last time and a sale had just passed, another sale has come and gone in the meantime since the previous episode. So, like I said, they're very frequent.
What I'm getting here is, on Friday evenings, go to the website and there'll be a sale there. Don't wait until you listen to the podcast early or midweek, because you're too early or late, depending on how you look at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, if you're following at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter, I did tweet about the sale, so you could have known, you could have bought one. I haven't looked to see if that happened or how I found out if that happens. So, go buy our shirts. Just do it. But in the meantime, you can also subscribe to this podcast, review it, or rate it on iTunes, or Stitcher, or Podbean, or whatever other bloody things do podcasts from RSS feeds. We're probably out there. Just say nice things about us. That's all we ask.
All right, so we're good with the super, like, cheesy, like,
yeah,
lame,
I think we're done with that.
Like, segue shit.
We've been earnest for, like, several minutes.
I mean, I wouldn't say earnest. I mean, I pretended to be earnest. So really, it's the opposite. Yeah.
Unearnest.
So, in the opposite of that theme, that guy's Matt.
And the other guy is Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying something related to Street Fighter, which I don't know much about, Shoryuken.